Thank you for listening to the She Served podcast. I'm deeply honored to have Lieutenant Colonel Carrie Ebrecht, who recently retired from the Air Force after 23 years. Welcome, ma'am. Thank you for being here in the studio with us.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
So tell me your story as a female in the military. Tell me the 23 years.
Yes. My father served for about 13 years. He was in the Marines.
Wow.
But he was, he had finished his service commitment by the time I came around. And so I have three sisters, so there's four of us girls all together. But my big burly Marine father was never one to tell us no, we couldn't do anything. And so I grew up with the stories from him, actually not really from him, from a lot of his buddies. My dad didn't really talk a lot about it, but there was always this sense of pride and country and honor and that sort of thing that I just picked up on at a very early age. And so I never knew a time that I didn't want to serve. And so I wound up serving in the Air Force, and then my little sister joined, and she was in the service for, I forgot to check with her, 8 years?
8 years, all right, okay.
And so that was, you know, just growing up, like I said, just with this innate sense inside of me that I wanted to serve and do something bigger than a part of myself.
That you did. And by the way, your father's service, today's the Marine's birthday today.
Ah, yes, it is. Thank you for remembering that. That's right.
So happy birthday.
Once a Marine, always a Marine,
That is very correct. So how did he feel when you and your sister went to the Air Force instead of the Marines?
So, actually, that was sort of a positive influence from my dad, because he went through the service in the, let's see, 50s. So he was, like I said before, he never told any of us girls no. Even though he had daughters, we were probably the girliest tomboys that you would meet. So he felt a sense in toughening us up and making us independent women. And dad really never said there wasn't anything that we couldn't do, but he said, Carrie, maybe you should consider something like the Air Force. Please don't join the Marines. But that was only because of his experience being, you know, in a former time. And let's face it, the Air Force compared to the Marine Corps is considered a little bit more of a, how should I say this? Because I still love my Air Force, but when we deploy, there's the joke that the Marines stay basically in the tent in the trenches, and the Air Force gets the 5-star hotel downtown.
I know.
So my dad kind of influenced me in that way. He never said no, but he kind of pushed me a little bit more. Maybe you should consider the Air Force.
Well,
and I'm so glad he did.
It's a win-win for us, right? It's a win-win for us. So that's a good thing. So I am so glad. So tell me the years, 23 years in the Air Force. How many AFSC, how many things that you've done?
So I went through the ROTC program in college.
Okay.
And got my commission that way in 1997 from Auburn University. And I had a degree, actually. I started out thinking I wanted to be an engineer, and that's what I needed to be a little bit more mathematical and analytical and things, if I really wanted to join the Air Force and maybe fly. And but that wasn't the case, actually. And so I soon found out that was not my destined career path. And so I switched to education.
Uh-huh.
So I actually got my degree, bachelor's in secondary education. It does have an emphasis in math.
Ooh,
but it's been many, many years since I've done that. So I'm helping my son with fourth grade math right now. And that's probably about as much as you want me to teach math anymore. But Yeah, so I got my commission through ROTC and joined, and initially was going to fly. That was something that I'd always thought I wanted to do. And through a different turn of events, I chose not to do that. And I was trying to decide, well, now what do I want to do with my life? Because I always wanted to serve, but I always wanted to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought, I've got my whole life ahead of me, now what? And someone said, randomly, I've kind of fallen into many positive, wonderful things in my life, I have to say. So someone said to me, why don't you look at aircraft maintenance? And I was like, well, I don't even know how to change the oil in my car, but okay. So I went and I got my maintenance training, and it was an amazing, amazing career choice, because flying for the Air Force is basically, that's kind of what it's all about, right? And mm-hmm. every other mission sort of surrounds that,
mm-hmm. yes.
that whole purpose. And so as maintenance, I kind of felt like as close as I could be to flying without actually being in the cockpit. And then as an officer, there's not too many officers
in the
maintenance field. And especially not very many women. And it was just one of those things that I got leadership opportunities and opportunities to do things at a lot earlier age than I ever would have with another career field. And I feel really fortunate with that. And so aircraft maintenance, I knew a little bit about, a very little bit about turning the wrenches, but my job as an officer was more with people management, and it was more about making sure that they were, they had the training to do their job, they were fit to do the job, they were mentally, spiritually, physically able to do the job, all those things that I needed to do to support one big team to accomplish a goal. And so my life is definitely very people-centric. And
oh, yes.
So I thoroughly enjoyed that part of my career, to be able to be there and work alongside these men and women. And really, I felt like I had many more opportunities to be part of, just surrounded with people and make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I thoroughly enjoyed that. And then as I furthered in my career, opportunities kind of presented themselves to me, and I wound up instructing at some point in an ROTC detachment at Valdosta State University.
Oh, wow.
And so that was kind of cool. So I used my education mm-hmm. Degree a little bit then. So it really doesn't matter what degree you get. You will gain so much from whatever you do. And mm-hmm. so it was kind of fun to be able to rely a little bit on that background that I had. So I instructed a little bit in ROTC, and then I went on and did some command positions, and I got to serve with all kinds of different individuals, but in different areas. Like, we did some helicopters, we did some cargo, some aerial refueling aircraft, those sorts of things. And then I got to work a little bit more at a wing level and do inspections and mm-hmm. Reviews that way. So that's good, making sure everyone was crossing T's and dotting I's. And then I worked my way up to a numbered Air Force, so the next level, and did kind of the same inspection routine there, and wound up wrapping up my career at 22nd Air Force at Dobbins.
Yes.
So I'm sorry, that was probably very long-winded, but...
That's a lot of experiences, a lot of knowledge gained, and I'm sure you have impacted a lot of airmen. So
it was a lot of fun. I mean, they impacted me just as well.
That's
and
good.
Influenced me. So
yes,
it was very enjoyable.
Well, you are definitely a people person. Now, when you were in the maintenance field department there, how many women in that area where you worked in the shop compared to the males?
Not many, let me tell you.
I bet.
What's funny is that in my career, when you put on the uniform, And I don't know if others feel the same way, but when I would walk into a room, the first thing you notice, I thought, was rank structure. Because you always have to be aware of who your supervisors or superiors were in the room, who the enlisted were in the room, just to make sure you knew your audience, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
So I saw more of this rank structure, and then, you know, the more I would sit there in this meeting and my mind might wander, then you start to realize, oh my gosh, I might be the only female in this room. Mm. Or then it becomes, you know, well, I might be the only officer in this room or whatever. Mm. But it was when I would think about it, that's when it would kind of become a little scary and go, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? But in uniform, I think because we try so hard to, it's called a uniform for a reason, right? Everything needs to be uniform and the same, because right. I think we try to take away some of that, some of those barriers, actually, mm-hmm. almost by being a little bit more, having a little bit more oneness. Does that make any sense?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I see.
Yeah,
I see your
so
point.
Even though we celebrate everyone's individuality, when you put on that uniform, it's more about what you do as opposed to whether you're male or female or the color of your skin or what religious preference you have. It's all those things you get to know with the person through getting to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
But initially, it's just you pay attention to like a rank structure and know your audience that way. But I will tell you that in general, the services are all a little bit different. But the latest statistic that I had heard
mm-hmm.
was that the Air Force had the most women, but mm-hmm. it's still only at like 19 or 20% female.
Yes, ma'am. That is so, the current statistic. And Marines have only, I think, 5 to 8%.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Big difference in the male-female statistic.
You know, what's really neat for me, though, is, like, I just was out and about today and went to go check out at a store, and they were kind enough to offer a military discount, and the young lady that was checking me out she struck up a conversation, asked me what service. I told her Air Force, and she said my grandmother was in the Air Force. So
wow.
I love hearing stories like that, especially coming from many years ago, that it was even more unheard of for women
mm-hmm.
to join the force.
Mm-hmm.
And so those women, they truly inspire me. These women that in the 50s, the 40s especially,
yes,
put aside their, you know, their hot pads and their turkey dinners and their heels to do the housework and went and worked in a factory, or got their private pilot's license so they could fly. And then what really amazes me is that it was this desire to serve. And then when the war was over, then they hung back up their combat boots and their pilot's helmets and went right back to the house to do the work behind the scenes again. And I do understand those women that you think, well, you were out there in the workforce, you did all these things, why would you give that up?
Mm-hmm.
But I do understand that, because I was active duty for 8.5 years.
Okay, thank you for telling us that.
Yeah, decided to that it was about time. My husband and I were married almost 8 years by that point, and so decided that, well, maybe it's time we need to start a family.
Mm-hmm.
So I hung up the full-time job to do it part-time so that I could be a stay-at-home mom and have that opportunity with my kids. And so I really enjoyed that opportunity to be in the reserve, but it gave me a chance to still work and do something I love, but also still be a mom and do that job that I love and to be able to be there for my kids.
Wow. So do you think being a female kind of helped you along the way to be able to juggle those responsibilities?
I did not experience a big pushback
mm-hmm.
throughout my career for being female,
mm-hmm.
Which was which was great. I know not every woman has that experience in whatever job that they do. And so I appreciated, I had a lot of wonderful supervision and support from the enlisted that helped support me. I did have, there were not very many females, but when I first started my maintenance career, there was a female captain that I became friends with. And so she was kind of an inspiration for me too, because here she was doing the things that I wanted to do. And so it's been wonderful to be able to have, even though there's very few of us, I think that brings us closer.
Yes,
I agree. Because we share a lot of things. But yeah, I just felt very fortunate. Like I said, a lot of my career has been just, it's been very blessed with opportunities that I didn't know that I wanted or needed, and they presented themselves, and things happen. And so I had really great support, and I never felt like I was lesser than being female. I felt like part of the team, you know.
Yeah. And you've always been a team player and a leader at the 94th Airlift Wing when I worked with you there, and it was an awesome thing that you're always, you brighten up the room and you're there to work, and you know, you're a go-getter. So thank you for that.
I appreciate that. I can't help who I am. I know a lot of people are, you know, everyone's different.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times people are very, well, they're much more reserved, and you think, you saw a lot of times what's funny is that, you know, I put on the uniform and I don't really act a completely different way because I am who I am.
Yes.
And so sometimes I'll admit I am the silly one in the room. I am a little bit kooky, and I do, you know, I'm loud. My children, I was talking to them last night. I was like, what makes mommy unique? And they're like, well, you're loud. You're so there's all kinds of fun things, but you know, I'm just one of those people that I want to be the best that I can be. And sometimes I don't find anything wrong with having fun while you're trying to do work at the same time.
Oh, I agree with you. We have Lieutenant Colonel Carrie Ebrecht, who just recently retired, in the studio. And we'll be right back and continue this episode for the She Served podcast. Welcome back to the She Served podcast. We have Lieutenant Colonel Carrie Ebrecht in the studio, and we'll continue on with her experiences and asking her insight about being in the service in the Air Force. Now, Lieutenant Colonel Ebrecht, can you tell me how can you describe yourself in 3 to 5 words? Give me adjectives.
Oh, boy. I would say, well, as my children would say, loud, fun, hardworking, and grateful.
Grateful.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Gratitude is a very big thing for me. You know, that is wonderful. What are you thankful for in the 23 years that you've had in the service?
It grew me. Again, we had a very close-knit family, 3 sisters. I grew up in the same place, in the Midwest, rural community. And I cried my little eyes out when I left to go to college. I was homesick. And, I just grew as my ROTC brothers and sisters. It was like having your own fraternity. It was, you know, probably considered the geeky fraternity, but you know, I knew there was a bigger purpose to it all. And, I enjoyed them so much. And I learned to stand on my own 2 feet, and I'm still very family oriented. But I became independent and knew I could support myself. And I appreciated the military. That it is funny that when you're in the thick of it and you're going through something that might be challenging and frustrating, and but you hear people talk, especially in retirement, they're like, oh, the years will go by so fast, and you think back so fondly of this, and you're thinking to yourself at the time, oh my gosh, what the heck, this is ridiculous, it's so hard. But on the other side of it all, now that I can look back, I remember the challenges, I remember the tough times, but I am, again, grateful for those, because those shaped me, molded me, helped me grow stronger. And you deal with them, and you will get through to the other side. You really will, and you'll learn from it. You know, you've heard the saying before, I'm sure, Anna, where they say that you learn more from your worst leaders than you did from your best leaders, because you kind of learn what not to do and how you want to do things differently.
Yeah,
and so
that is true.
It made me much more self-sufficient, much more independent. Sometimes I will say in the family life that made things challenging for my marriage. Mm-hmm. My husband struggled with the fact that I did not always consider the us before I made decisions to do things. And there was a deployment. Our very first, we got married in October of 99, and there was a deployment coming up in December. And I was the only one that didn't have kids. And so really, without talking to him first, I said, I'll take that first ship. And thinking that I was doing something that was fair and noble, and I'd forgotten that I really still had, even though he wasn't a child, he still wanted his wife there with him and my husband, being military himself, it just allows you to see that we're all still human. And you know, we still love our spouses, and it's hard when we're apart. And so so I had to learn a lot about maybe considering more of the us in a lot of things, rather than just being me and being out there and doing it because I was supposed to do it, or I felt like I was supposed to do it. I developed that way as well, that sometimes it's okay to say no.
And that can be hard for us as well as women. And I find that challenging for myself, but like what you said, you've learned to be independent, you've learned to stand on your own two feet, and if you have a challenging supervisor, you just grow from that situation and say, what have I learned from this situation, and move on, right? And that juggle of being married to a military, that can be a different thing as well.
You know, the Air Force has been very good to us. Dan and I have had the opportunity, or the fortunate enough that we've been able to be stationed in the same place. It doesn't mean that we didn't have our fair share of deployments and training and things where we lived apart, but I feel very, again, grateful that we were able to make it work. And I feel grateful that he has such a good job, and that he was still very motivated to continue with his military career so that I could take a little bit of a back seat voluntarily to be able to be a stay-at-home mom and do that thing as well.
And that's okay. That is okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, I had to realize that too and say that's okay. So it took me a while. Like I said, we were married 8 years before I was finally deciding that I think I'm ready to take a step back and have children. Because I knew I wanted to dedicate a lot of time to my children. I have amazing respect for women who are full-time working, raising children. So I don't mean for it to sound that they were not doing their part when their children went to daycare. I just felt like that was, I grew up with a stay-at-home mom, and so I felt like that was just, that was where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And also, I know my limitations,
mm-hmm.
and I could not see myself trying to juggle a full-time job at home and outside the home.
Yeah.
I knew something needed to bend a little bit for me.
Yes.
I just, it's amazing what women are awesome. It's amazing what they can do out there.
I am biased. I agree with you 100% on that one. Yes, it is a challenge. Now I know when I, from my experience going back, I mean, to be a stay-at-home mom, I kind of lost myself as well as being independent.
Yeah.
Did you feel that being active duty, teaching the ROTC program, and then all of a sudden, oh, I am home. Who am I now?
Yeah.
Right? Because we still have that stigma that stay-at-home mom, you know, it's not a good thing, but, you know, I'm not degrading anybody or anything like that, but you kind of lose yourself after a while,
sure.
right? And then you regain, well, this is the most important thing. Did you have that?
Yeah. Well, I have one of my older sisters was she's very determined, and she's an engineer, and so she's got a very analytical, mechanical mind. But at the same time, like I said, we're all a little bit funny. She is the best cake decorator I've ever seen. She sews her children's costumes when they were younger for Halloween.
Oh my!
So she does it all. But she was one that said, "I don't want to stay home.
Mm.
I cannot stay home." She just, and I think that she would have been one that, even on her maternity leave, she was probably itching to go back to work. I enjoyed the opportunity to stay home, but I will say, because I still had the reserves where I was going in, and I started out just the bare minimum, 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year, that sort of thing. And then as my children grew older and I got into experience a little bit more about what I needed to do for childcare, what I needed to do to plan dinner for the weekends, and what we needed to do for all these things, I was able to participate more. And I will tell you, it was my kids. I don't think that they truly remember very well, but when they were born, they were both born in New Jersey, and we lived 30 minutes from Joint Base McGuire Dix Laser.
Yeah, oh, that's
and
a big
so,
base.
I would take my boys in to go get a haircut at the military barber. And then it was fun. I'd stop by the office and we'd wind up going in the maintenance truck out on the flight line.
Oh,
and my
so
kids,
fun.
You know, so I have a one in an infant seat and then the other who's like two. And they're out there on the flight line. And I'm just like, what other kid gets this opportunity to do this? And, but it was great. And that's, you know, and that is the other thing to mention while I'm talking about that now is that when I had my kids, we were away from home. I had no family nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And the military.
Oh, wow.
My favorite assignment was that assignment at McGuire because both of my children were born while I was still in the same squadron. I had a meeting one time and I had my first sergeant babysat for me.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
You know, it's that kind
wow.
of thing. Truly are your family.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't have done it without them. They were wonderful.
Aww.
And so
shout out to them. Shout out to them at McGuire.
Oh yeah. They're awesome. There were times that I felt like a little lost because I didn't have my family immediately there. But I appreciated the opportunity to be with my kids. I will tell you, and I'm probably not the only mother to say this, my kids drive me absolutely insane when I'm not with them. It's like a piece of me is missing, you know? I enjoyed being able to be there. But and a funny thing too is when my son was younger, I could do the reserves. I could, with modern technology, right? you could log in from home.
Now, yes, while someone yes.
was napping or playing. So what's funny is that my son at the time was probably between 2 and 3, and he's learning to play, and so he's got his little play telephone. And I would hear him mimicking me, and he would pick up the phone and be blah 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 chief, blah 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 chief. So he'd be talking to the chief on there just because that's what mommy did, and so it cracked me up.
You wish you had a video camera then, right?
Right,
an iPhone, I guess, during those times when they were in the maintenance squadron, and you know, oh my goodness. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I agree with the military family. I mean, it's your secondary family when your primary family's not there. They step up, right? They step up. So I agree. I agree 100%. How did you handle all the stressors and pressures in the job, active duty and in the reserves? Now, I know there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. Sometimes not well. So I am a little bit type A personality where I don't need to be in charge, but I feel like I have to be in charge in order for things to go right. And so it was a challenge to learn how to delegate. Especially when you have children, there were times that there were times that I would have to shut myself somewhere in a closet or a room and cry a little bit because I'm like, how am I supposed to do all this? But,
mommy, time out.
Where you have to say, okay, sometimes good enough has to be good enough.
That is so right.
Yeah, you can't manage everything to be 100% perfect.
Something has to
down and just plow through it and get through it and you know, just it sounds well, everyone experiences this. So I will tell you, it's not a cop out because in order to survive, you have to tell yourself you can't do everything to 100% ability. Sometimes my family suffered and I only gave them 70%. Mm. Sometimes the Air Force suffered and they only got 70%. Mm. But here I am. You know, you get through it and you get help and you get good mentors out there to help you along the way. You groom those people beneath you so that they are ready to take the reins when you leave. And that's one thing I think that we have failed. And it's not just the Air Force. I think it's just society in general. We need to do a better job of really mentoring and developing our youth so that they are the ones that are ready to take the reins and lead us in a positive direction and get us where we need to be. We've got to be able to take the time to mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard. It's hard to take sometimes that time that it's going to take to take you twice as long to accomplish whatever task, but in the end, instead of catching fish, right, you're teaching them to fish.
Yes, I agree. I mean, that's how leadership should be, right? The mentorship is key, and sharing your talents, sharing your knowledge for the next generation. And I think you're right about that aspect, but it also for the motherhood part of that is that we start from the home, right? We groom our children, we teach them. So it just doesn't.
I'm changing the world one young man at a time. So I have two boys, and that's my goal is that they need to straighten up and fly right.
I'm sure that motivates you in life when you're nourishing them emotionally, physically, all of those things, right?
Definitely. Yeah, they are my reason for doing anything, really. I want my children to be proud of me, but I also want them to see the example that I'm leading so that they can understand And, you know, let's be honest, I'm not perfect, right? So they can see the bad examples too and be like, yeah, that's not what we want to do. So, but I want to be able to inspire them to be better human beings. You know, every day we need to strive to be better. We're not perfect, but every day better.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We strive for that growth. We strive for that you know, movement forward. And how do you see yourself moving forward in 5 years' time? Now that you kind of not coming to the drill anymore, we miss you definitely. Yeah. How do you see yourself in 5 years?
Years, I'm going to have two boys driving.
Ah!
I don't know. How am I supposed to see myself? Maybe living the good life, right? Maybe they'll be chauffeuring mom around. I like what's filling my time right now in retirement, because everyone's like, well, are you going to get a job? And I was like, yeah, I think I may do something fun. That pays outside of the house, but my real joy actually is my youngest is in fourth grade, and so I still have very few, I think, years left where I can be all up in his business, and he still gives me a kiss goodbye in the morning in front of his friends. It doesn't matter, you know, and as he goes off to school. So I immerse myself in my children's activities, and we just finished a very successful fundraiser for the grade school. We're doing some Veterans Day programs that are great to get involved with. I enjoy being able to volunteer, and especially at the grade school. It's been harder this year because they are limiting the volunteer staff in there, and so I'm usually in there in the library helping that. And I just love those kids. They're just, at that age, especially the grade school age, they're still so impressionable. And I just want to be there for them to let them know that they need good, positive role models in their lives and good influences. And I see these teachers that do amazing things. There are some kids that struggle a little bit, and these teachers are they're the mentors. I mean, I still remember one of my first favorite teachers I've ever had was second grade, Miss Hendricks. And you know, I love to be in the grade school. It's fun to go in there because the kids are excited to see you, and I'm missing a little bit about that with my seventh grader. Middle school is something I'm still trying to wrap my head around because they don't need you as much. Well, that doesn't sound fair. I have a hard time. I'm not in the school, right? I'm not there. I don't have lunch with my seventh grader anymore, so it's harder for me to do that. But I enjoy a lot. I love spending time with family. We love traveling. So that's another thing that darn COVID has kind of
COVID
kibosh on.
I hear you.
I'm very fortunate that my husband is still working and making, we call it the honey money.
honey money.
My child got one of them when they were younger, the thing, you know, go out there and make that money, honey. And so he started calling it the honey money. So that's just because the house is so, yes, as long as he's making the honey money and allows us to do the fun things. I'm a terrible retiree because maybe I'm a good retiree. I'm enjoying retirement. I'm not out there trying to find a second job and work my fingers to the bone. Is that bad? I don't know.
your first job is being a mom. That's 24/7.
I'm going to have a really hard time, I think, with that empty nest syndrome. I still have a few years left, so I'm enjoying it.
Yes. I think you just enjoy the moment with your two sons, especially the one in the fourth grade, because they can still love you. Middle school is a different beast, I would say. But, you know, time flies, like with your retirement, 20 plus years. Oh, my goodness. We appreciate
it.
We truly appreciate all you've done for the Air Force, for the 94th Airlift Wing, for the 22nd Air Force, and all the maintenance and all the things that you've done as a female in the military, as a mommy female, and a leader. I appreciate you, ma'am. I hope to see you one of these days again after this COVID thing, and maybe no more phone calls, and we can just do face-to-face and give each other a hug, right?
That would be wonderful, you know, a hug. It's been very, this has been very hard for us huggers.
Yes, yes, for us, who are blues, right, and those color Myers-Briggs.
It is
challenging.
Well, I appreciate very much the opportunity to serve, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here to speak with you, Anna. And I have to say, again, lots of times when people are at this point in their lives and they look back and they're speaking to young people, you know, you have to do X, Y, Z to get where I am. And I have to say, do your best. No matter what you do, because everybody's path is different. And as long as you're doing your best, you're going to be happy and the most impactful that way. And I was fortunate enough to have fallen into so many different things. And it's been an amazing ride. And so, I just want everyone to understand that everyone's paths are different. And please don't take me as I don't know. I don't feel all that amazing.
You are.
But I enjoy people. I enjoy talking to people. And I enjoyed this opportunity a lot to be able to share some things about my life with you.
Yes, yes. I appreciate you. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. Thank you for your service, ma'am. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you, and I appreciate it.
You take it easy, ma'am. Have a good
Bye-bye.
One. Bye-bye. This is Anna Sanchez for the She Served podcast. We just interviewed a wonderful female leader in the Air Force, recently retired Lieutenant Colonel Carrie Ebrett. Thank you for listening.